Happy New Year. It's the first day of our Christian year. We like January 1st, don't we? Because it's a chance to start over and everybody's starting over with us. We all follow the same calendar, but in the church sometimes it gets lost a little bit. But this is the first day of our year, the first Sunday of Advent. We teach the children to look around church to know what season it is, and we use signals to try to clue everybody in as to what season it is. And so you might have noticed purple. Our clergy have purple on in exchange for the normal green long season. Last week was probably white. But at any rate, that's how you know it's Advent here at St. Paul's, because the clergy are wearing purple. There's some purple in the flowers. There's this beautiful Advent wreath with the four candles for the four Sundays of Advent and the Christ candle. You see here the white candle in the center. Visual signals as to where we are in the church year. We also use auditory signals. They're a little more subtle. Maybe you didn't notice them, but we get into the music of Advent, and when we really get into it, it can be in a minor key. Sounds a little bit mysterious. You'll hear references to the tree of Jesse and to all the historical references to the birth of Jesus. And so we try to do that with sound and sight to say, Happy New Year. One of the things I do on the first Sunday in Advent is I take out my creche. Maybe some of you have them, a nativity scene of some sort. Mine is more than 50 years old. I had it when I was a child, and it's a kind of beat up stable with a little hole in the back that you push the light through, you know? Looks supposed to look like a star. Looks like a nightlight. There's an angel hanging from the top of the stable. She has a hook on her back. So you can hook her on, and she has a banner in gold. It says, Gloria in Excelsis. I'm wondering how they knew Latin then, but that's another story. The shepherds have gathered from the fields. The three wise men are there. I only have two now. One of them bit the dust somewhere along the line. But they weren't there then anyway at the birth, right? They came later. And you see Mary, and she's in her beautiful white, lovely dress with the little blue on the end, spotless. Joseph reverently praying, and the baby Jesus in the manger with a halo over his head. A little bit of hay. My mother used to, what she did to our manger scene when we were little was she put two Christmas trees on either side, little tiny green trees, and then she took cotton and put it on the trees and on the roof of the stable, not knowing there wasn't any snow there. But she wanted to make it look like home, I suppose. But it's a way for us to make a picture. Isn't this what Advent's about? The coming of the infant Jesus, the coming of that glorious night with light, people singing peace on earth, goodwill towards men, gentle shepherds. Yeah, that's what we're waiting for. So remember I said sound and sight is how we're telling you about Advent? Those are only two of the three. We also have Scripture. So let's see what the Scripture tells us about that gentle night. After the suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven. Okay, so like we say in Jersey, what's up with that? What's up with that? I thought we were getting ready for the baby Jesus. And indeed we are. But this coming is the second coming, the parousia, the time when Jesus will come back in glory and take back the entire creation. I think we need both of these things. Well, the writers of the scripture and the writers of the lectionary thought we did. Yes, we are getting ready for the birth of Jesus. And we're also supposed to be getting ready for the second coming. That's what the keep awake is about. Keep awake. Be alert. You hear those things? Beware. Be alert. Keep awake. Contrast that beautiful manger scene, creche, with the reality. How could Mary possibly have been spotless? She just gave birth to a baby, virtually outside, with no assistance other than Joseph, we think, with animals all around, nobody caring, everybody's real busy with the reporting for the census. Could have been cold. She was alone, her first child in labor after a long journey. Nowhere near home. That's the reality. And we make a nice picture out of it. So maybe the be awake is, let's look at that. But the be awake is about the second coming. The second coming, they tell us, when all of the heaven and earth will pass away. And nobody knows what time. Nobody knows when. The first way to look at it, I think, is to say, well, okay, what are we waiting for? We ask the kids this sometimes. Advent means coming. So what's coming? And they shout, Christmas! Well, that's kind of right. Some people like to ask, who's coming? But that's a risk. You'll either get Jesus or Santa. You got to take a chance on that. I don't know. Most preachers won't. But Christmas is coming. But I have to tell you, Christmas is a word that the church made up in the 11th century to describe the holiday of this particular feast. Christ, Mass, Christ, Messiah, Mass. Doesn't mean entirely what it means today, but liturgical celebration of Christ. Yeah, good. That's a good description. But you know what the real title of Christmas is? Feast of the Incarnation. We celebrate God becoming person, God becoming man in Jesus. That's what we're waiting for. And we're waiting for the second coming of that, when that becomes glorious. But that was Mark's vision of the second coming. He thought the moon would go out and the stars would fall from the sky, and one of the other gospel writers thought the sun would bleed. It doesn't apply to us today. That was probably his contemplation and his understanding and his maybe imagination. But what does it mean for us to keep awake? How do we keep awake? I started by trying to think about what makes me sleep or be numb. Because keeping awake has got to not be about caffeine and Red Bull and stuff. It has to be more about how I operate as a disciple. So maybe I'm numb. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm numb to the news. Okay, I don't watch the news on television anymore. I hear it, but it doesn't go in. So in some ways, I just turn it off as opposed to finding a way to care about it. You know, we can go through life asleep to the kinds of things we are supposed to be about as Christians, as baptized persons. We can go through life kind of sleepwalking. We can go through Advent the same way, numb. I became numb when I went in the grocery store before Thanksgiving. They were playing Christmas carols. Okay, I don't care about Frosty the Snowman. I don't care about Holly Jolly Christmas. I don't even know what that means. But away in the manger, when I've heard that on November 15th and heard it 48 more times before I stand before the creche here, it's got to be numbing. How do I keep awake in the face of this? How do I keep awake in the face of overbuying? Overbuying is another way we numb ourselves. We've forgotten, I think overbuying is kind of killing generosity. We do that and we've forgotten, what is a gift? What does it mean to give a gift? What does it mean to receive a gift? Another numbing is the activity. There's plenty to do between now and then. We don't choose carefully. We leave out One more Sunday left. I think I can make it to the mall. But there's another place we retreat, and that is, I think, our belief system. I go back to my comfortable ways I believe about the world. I'll tell you where I'm challenged. Same grocery store. You must think I go to the grocery store all the time. Same grocery store. I go to the checkout, and there's a 20-something young lady there to check out my groceries. And she has all different color hair and pierced all over everywhere and tattoos. And I don't even greet her because I've just shut down completely. I know who she is by what she looks like. Same on Route 440. Did you ever see the people who sit on the exit of 440 with a sign, "I'm homeless, I need money, I'm hungry, I need food"? I drive by them and I think occasionally, "I just came out of Kroger and they had a sign, 'Help Wanted.' I wonder why that guy's sitting here." Retreat to my own normal way of thinking. No challenge, no challenge. Happens in lots of things, in the news too. I wasn't in St. Louis. I don't know anyone who was. I don't know what happened. I don't know if anyone will ever know exactly what happened. But I got my mind made up, don't I? What if I were to sit with someone, the tattooed young lady, the homeless man, or someone who believes totally the opposite of what I think I believe about St. Louis? I wonder if that is fulfilling my baptismal promise. I wonder if that is what being awake means. Being awake in Advent, waiting for the glorious coming of Jesus Christ. Coming again. He's coming again. You know, you say it every week in the Creed, right? He's coming again to judge the quick and the dead, living and the dead. We say it in the Eucharist. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So there's probably very little doubt that he's coming again. And they told us to be awake because he's coming in all his glory and we have no idea what time. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.